Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.
You're locked on the Sunday Morning Hangover on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Nick Curran and Phil Baker.
It's a Wednesday afternoon hangover. Hour number two of the V Show here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Phil Baker, I'm Nick Curran. Nick Valvano as well, sitting in for Bobby V. You can catch the Sunday Morning Hangover each Sunday from 10 to noon here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. That's where we often are, but maybe that's where you want to avoid.
KSR Strebel on Twitter, big fan of the show. Appreciate you listening, buddy. Said he loves the show very much, and he wants to listen to every time we're on the air. So appreciate
KSR Strebel
on Twitter, on the Bet River Sportsbook Twitter feed, at ESPN 680, at Phil _ Baker, at Nick Curran 35, about to have Drew Brown join us here momentarily, and we also have Nikki Espen on.
Do they not have Twitter. An L's down emoji yet?
No, I think they just had a thumbs down on that.
Yeah,
instead.
I know. I feel like that would have been a good place for the
Is there a hand signal?
They don't have a cardinal bird emoji. I doubt they're going to have an L's down yet.
So yeah, everyone has to use a chicken.
That's true.
But, I mean, I guess you could do an L and then the arrow pointing down.
Yeah.
You could.
And then Louisville fans could do the water pistol with an arrow going up. And then
that's not what KSR Strebel did, though. Just went with the thumbs down.
He was a big fan of the show, though, so
a little
we appreciate him listening. Drew Brown, is that Drew Brown I hear rumbling around there? The man, the myth, the legend, Drew Brown from A Sea of Blue, doing great work over there in the Cats by 90 podcast. Be sure to give him a follow, Big Blue Drew 33. Drew, my man, how are you?
Doing well. How are you guys doing?
Doing well. Appreciate you making time as always. So Kentucky took care of business last night against Mount St. Mary's. Your initial takeaways of just what Oscar Tshiebwe is doing and getting his third straight double-double. And I know the competition hasn't been great the last two games, but also put up crazy numbers against Duke. Just what he speak to what he has been doing for this Kentucky basketball team thus far.
Well, the beauty of what Oscar's doing is, you know, number one, you can say that he has done it against great competition. So, you know, as they go through these cupcakes, it's even far more impressive because you know he can do it against a great front court as well. But what I thought was interesting last night, you know, even though that he grabbed 16 rebounds with his early offense, I think that game could have went a little bit different. And I don't think Kentucky would have maybe covered if he didn't kind of go LeBron James there at the beginning of the game and hitting those jump shots and facing up and just kind of willing baskets in, which he proved he can do that last night. So, I mean, if he's going to be even more of a scoring threat, and, you know, I think by now it's a foregone conclusion he's going to be snagging, you know, tons of rebounds, and he really is on pace to have a special season.
I mean, he's been so much fun to watch, and you're right, really kind of kept Kentucky going last night, hitting those jumpers, and that seemed to just be there whenever they wanted it. Curious your thought. I think this Kentucky team, and watching last night, I got the same sense. They want to play up tempo, they want to run, but I think what's going to end up making this team dangerous is that they're also perfectly fine if they have to play in kind of a half court. And I thought Mount St. Mary's sort of made them do that a lot last night because Mount St. Mary's playing with sort of a slower tempo. But, you know, it's a Kentucky team that looks pretty comfortable to me in the half court and able to sort of execute an offense. I think they want to run, but they can play in the half court, and that's not always true of John Calipari's teams in Kentucky, and I think that could make them exceptionally dangerous.
Yeah, imagine that. This year the team can shoot. You know, they can put the ball in the basket, so you're right. I think that there's they're still figuring out their identity, I think, is how they want to play offensively. And from my takeaways early on, I mean, without Xavier Wheeler, you know, if the ball's not in his hands, I don't really know what much transition game they have right now. I think that's a big void that Ty Washington could fill. I know that he's been, you know, still making some shots, finding some separation and making plays, but I think that he could do a little bit more to get them out in transition when the ball's not in Wheeler's hands. But you're right. I mean, you put guys like, you know, Kellen Grady, even Keon Brooks is making shots. You know, you line those guys up around the perimeter, and it gives Cal a lot of options, which we know over the past several seasons, especially last year, you know, having the luxury of a plethora of shot makers was not on the table. So I think they are. They're still kind of looking for their identity, and they probably will play kind of, you know, to what the defense is giving them, which is definitely a luxury.
Guard play, as you alluded to, Xavier Wheeler, Ty Washington, both expected to play a ton of minutes this season. And each came up big last night. But outside of them, who do you think is probably going to be the go-to guy or guard for this team, I should say, if either of those were to get into foul trouble or, you know, an injury along the way? Who do you think is going to be the guy that steps up this season and for the guards?
Well, I think you kind of defined it right there. I think that's why Davion Mintz is on the team, and that's why he came back. I think he wants to be put in positions at certain points to really win a game for Kentucky or fill a void that they need filled. And I think he has the experience. He's proven that he can do it last year. I think his playmaking ability last year was so underrated. I mean, for tons of games, it seemed like he was the only guy that really could make a play with the ball in his hands, kind of creating some offense. So I've said all summer, you know, once he decided he was going to come back, there'll be a couple of games this year where Davion Mintz wins Kentucky the game, specifically because of what you mentioned, just for whatever reason. You know, the other two guys are either in foul trouble, you know, maybe one gets dinged up, whatever the case. I think that Davion Mintz is void to fill.
Drew Brown, see you, Blue. Be sure to give him a follow. Big Blue Drew 33 on Twitter, doing great work over there. Bryce Hopkins, he's seen more minutes. You got some guys on the injury, you know, watch with wear and Toppin on the mend. But Dante Allen, he still seems he's the hot topic around there. Everyone always stands up and cheers because he's the hometown or home state kid. What's his rotation and role on this team? Because I think Cal is going to keep getting calls about him on his call-in show. He's going to keep getting asked questions about it. But maybe the injuries give him an opportunity to get in more often. But what is his role on this team?
Well, first off, I'm saying I'm a huge Dante Allen fan. I love his, like, demeanor off the court. He's so genuine with people and fans. So not just him being from Kentucky, but I think just kind of the way that he carries himself makes people really, really cheer for him. And I don't know, man, that's a good question. I think that Cal spoke about it a little bit after the game on Friday night against Robert Morris, essentially kind of talking about platoon system, and he slowed it down and said, you know, there's guards that are better that deserve to play more, I think is how he put it. So I think, I mean, we already talked about two of them, so you know those guys are going to be out there a lot, but maybe not as hard as I put it with Davion Mintz landing that point, but I'm sure there'll be a game where maybe they need, you know, him to come off the bench and make some shots. I mean, he came in last night and airballed one by like 10 feet and then drained the next one, made a nice assist. So he has a great feel for the game, but this team's deep. So, you know, it's not going to do him any favors, the depth on that bench this year.
No, that's going to be another one of the topics to keep an eye on as we move along throughout the year, the depth and everything Kentucky can run out there, even with the injuries that Phil mentioned. Curious what you thought of, we've talked about it on the show earlier today, people making a big deal about attendance and that sort of thing, with obviously games against teams that don't necessarily move the needle, not name brands, that sort of thing. What have you thought of, like, the atmosphere in there? Just, you know, I know people are making a deal about the attendance, but just being back to being able to have even 15,000 people in the arena, not something we had last year, just sort of the environment to have that back.
Well, first I'll kind of speak on, because I almost mentioned this today, because I've seen kind of similar things mentioned with Louisville basketball attendance and stuff, and I think at some point you just got to say, I mean, people just don't go to things as much as they used to.
Right.
Like, if you want to contribute that to COVID, I think a lot of it is just, you know, you just can get your content so many different ways that I know even 5, 10, especially 15 years ago, I mean, like, a pair of Kentucky basketball tickets were, you know, they're worth tons. I mean, everybody would want them. If you put those things for free, I mean, as fast as you could post it or mention it, someone would have taken them. It's just not the case anymore. So I don't know how much of it you can really, like, draw conclusions to program by program. I think you kind of just have to acknowledge at some point people just don't want to go to games as much for whatever reason that is. But I'll say a few things. So, again, I know I talked to you guys about this the day after the Champions Classic, mm-hmm. and the entire sentiment of that whole arena, fans, media, coaches, players, was all just how excited they were for fans to be back. They just felt something. It felt great. And you did feel it in that arena. I know that game was sold out, obviously, just due to the four powerhouse programs and the location that it was at. But the atmosphere was terrific there, and I think that was probably one of the, you know, the biggest first college basketball events, you know, kind of as we're hopefully getting to the tail end of a lot of COVID protocol. And then I'll say, too, I wasn't there last night, but I was there on Friday against Robert Morris, and I had been, as much as I could scream, I said there was going to be a difficult few weeks because not much could or would get the Big Blue Nation excited. But the Robert Morris game, I mean, you talk about that Damian Collins dunk and just the way they finished that game out and really just hammered somebody, which, you know, we haven't seen a ton when you consider last year. So I thought the fans that are going to Rupp, that was a long way to answer your question, have been phenomenal. But I just don't think – I don't know that we're ever going to see a point again where, you know, Rupp and the Yum Center are just selling out every night or even – I mean, it's going to have to be, I think, even a pretty monster game to get Rupp sold out. This just seems to be the way that it is.
Well, speaking to that, our very own Jack Grossman was at the game last night asking John Calipari a question, a hot topic that got picked up by the Indy Star. I feel like we've been having this discussion for the last decade. Kentucky, Indiana, he talked about just the women's game happening up in Bloomington on Sunday, and John Calipari's thoughts on that. We have that clip. I want to get your reaction to that. This is our very own Jack Grossman, $190 richer, by the way, by asking this question to John Calipari on the Kentucky IU series.
Coach, I don't know if you were aware that the Kentucky women's team played Indiana on Sunday with first-year head coach Mike Woodson. Has there been any discussion?
Say what?
Has there been any discussion with Mike Woodson, the new head coach up there, about trying to bring that series back in some way, shape, or form in the future?
Mike and I are good friends, and, you know, we've talked about stuff. So, but there's nothing imminent that I could talk to you about. So we think we got to do, still got to do, we got to go to Notre Dame. I think we got to do a Michigan thing. You still got the Big 12. You still got Louisville every year. You got the two tournaments that everyone wants in that we're in. That's, everybody wants those tournaments. If we, the greatest thing about those two neutral games is the four teams that are in are lucky, because the minute anybody would drop out, there'd be 50 teams calling and begging to be in those tournaments. So, you know, got through the Georgia Tech thing, but yeah, it's Mike's a good guy. From what I understand, they're doing well too, playing good basketball. He's a hell, let me tell you, hell of a coach, and he's a great guy. I could tell you stories about what makes him a great guy, but he's doing great.
Drew Brown from ASEAblue.com. Is that a life a boat extension to one Mike Woodson to bring back the border rival between Kentucky and Indiana, dare I say?
Well, first off, nice job, Jack. I had seen that. I did not realize that you were the one that kind of spawned that debate, so well done. I know from time to time, Insel will text me a question and want me to be the middleman, and I've never taken him up on that. So well done, first of all.
And smart.
Well, he got paid $190 for the Strieble, Andy, and Ince said if he asked that question, he'd get $190.
Make sure you're charging Ince if he asks you to ask a question anymore.
Wow, you really got over on that, Jack. That was good, because that was a reasonable question when you could tie in the women's game, which I did watch. And the Indiana women are good. But back to the topic of Kentucky men playing Indiana. I don't know if you asked me this on purpose, but it's probably just because of relevancy of last night. But you know, I'm the biggest Indiana hater, Bill. I love you, Jack, but I don't. If you know me at all, you know I really don't hate on Louisville Harley at all. Grew up here and stuff, so I think that we should always channel our energy to hate Indiana for their irrelevancy, which is why I think that this rivalry is going to be, you know, difficult to get back on the books for that. And then, you know, just looking back to the event, we all know what happened and why it won't go back there. So the more he digs in, I feel like the less likely something is to get put on the books, because it's almost like I feel like he kind of has a pact with others you know, whether it be players, families, or whoever was in attendance that night, and almost it's like it's going to go back on that. So, and I also understand, too, I mean, you put Indiana on the schedule for a future game, you know, who knows how well that's going to do for your non-conference if we're looking at kind of recent history. So I like the neutral site big games. I'm with Cal. I doubt we'll play them, you know, while he's here, at least not for a while.
And I think you will still get those same attendance numbers probably at Rupp Arena until a game of the caliber of Indiana is back there, unfortunately. Same with the Yum Center. We saw Southern and Furman. Drew, as always, buddy, appreciate it. Congrats on hitting the $220,000 you placed for Kentucky to cover yesterday with the 24.5 spread. That'll net you about $200,000. You can thank Zane Payne for getting those last-minute heroics. I'm sure you're feeling a lot richer today.
Yeah, I'll probably double down Friday at Ohio. I'm not sure what the spread is, but I'll probably double that down, maybe go maybe even a smooth 500 on that one. We'll see. Whew.
That's that big money Drew Brown works with. Drew Brown from the Sea of Blue, Cats by 90. Give him a follow on Twitter, Big Blue Drew 33. Appreciate it, buddy. We'll talk soon.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Have a good one.
You too.
Thanks, Drew.
Drew Brown doing great work over there. As always, boots on the ground. He's up at the Champions Classic. He's at Rupp Arena. My man's traveling around. Probably talk to him about some, you know, football stuff, but I really didn't, you know, if you can't take care of business against New Mexico State, like, what are we doing? So,
I mean, yeah, that should be not a problem. I am disappointed that Drew isn't more behind a Kentucky-Indiana game. You can play that one at a neutral site. That's what they used to do, just play it at a neutral site.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think with the artist formerly known as Banker's Life, and you got probably your biggest contingency of IU fans up there.
Yeah, play one of them there and then rotate it to Freedom Hall.
You really want to shake things up. Probably not going to play at Freedom Hall. Probably get the Yum Center, especially a lot of people would hate that Vince Tyree would probably be the one that coordinated that. I don't think that would probably happen here.
That's why it would be Freedom Hall.
I know, I agree with you on that, but I think if you're not a terrible idea to try the Yum Center, but that's I think it would be shot down.
Probably be good to play it at Freedom Hall.
Agreed.
Maybe Bridgestone Arena in Nashville.
God, of course. Let's take a break. We could react to some more of these rumors around there. I'll put up the bat signal again to our folks at the Miami Herald to see if we can get some reaction to that. Probably has no meat on the bones.
I got a feeler, too, but we'll see.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Well, we can give it another show. We can give another show there, potentially. It's just, you know.
Multiple. We got multiple lures in the pond.
I say it all the time.
Is that the right terminology?
I just nodded my head in agreement with you, so I'm going to say yes. But, the needs to get back. It's 20 years now. That was my childhood. I don't know if it's the documentaries or just the everything about the U in the Florida State was my childhood with college football, and it breaks my heart. Saw a little glimmer of it over the weekend, but below 500.
The ACC needs it too.
I know.
Florida, Miami, Clemson. All right, Florida State, obviously. You get those three, and then you have, you know, an NC State, a Wake Forest, a Louisville bopping their head in. All of a sudden, maybe the ACC gets a little bit of grit.
Speaking of that, we were talking about the coaching carousel. I want to get back to something. You brought up a really good point on Maben's show, filling in for, I guess, when Maben left, and with Rummage, talking about the buyouts with stuff. So I want to revisit that, just talking about the history with Tom Jurich and having that massive buyout for Bobby Petrino and just kind of the overall landscape of college football coaches and just the carousel that is probably going to go deep into the signing period as well as deep into probably 2022 when people are trying to find some of these jobs. So I want to revisit that before we get Eric Crawford on around 2:20, I believe, to kind of get a gauge of the sports landscape with him.
Looking forward to all of it today. Why wouldn't we want to talk about the coaching carousel? It's always fun. Never too early to do that. Potentially, will we already have an ACC domino falling with Virginia Tech, maybe some others. We will see. Real quick, reminder, go to BatsBaseball.com. You can check out a chance to have breakfast with Santa coming up in the early December, the first three Saturdays of December, the 4th, the 11th, and the 18th. All the details there, BatsBaseball.com. But Breakfast with Santa, chance to make some crafts. I believe some ornaments will be made down in the clubhouses where the event will be held, and a great breakfast as well. All the details, time slots, everything available, BatsBaseball.com. Holiday packs available now as well if you're looking for the perfect gift. Kids Club memberships, kids can get into each Sunday home game free as a Kids Club member. A couple of the great gifts with that. Also, I believe with the holiday packs, you get a beer bat with it if you purchase one of those. That's been very popular. So BatsBaseball.com if you have the person in your life that would enjoy a beverage bat, as I believe.
Sorry.
We're obligated to call it. the beverage bat. So check that out. And, of course, season tickets, other ticket packages available now, all at BatsBaseball.com.
Nicky V having a wonderful home run derby in the back with those bad boys.
Oh, yeah.
Him and Grossman boys.
Play a little, play some automatics. Close the Andy and Drew's offices so we don't get fired.
Good move.
And I think we need to move it possibly to the bat. Well, I don't know. Now we have that wonderful RGB.
Jack, we can be human shields over there for that. So we should. Yeah, we can make it work. There's a little bit more space back there.
I am kind of bummed. Well, okay, now that you know, we miss her. You know, our station madre, Dawn is no longer working here. Can I get that computer monitor back? Because that was the perfect strike zone.
Sure, why not? Let's do it. I think that's
not using it for anything now, right?
Dude, I mean, it was absolutely
just collect the dust.
Perfect.
437-9680 UPS jobs text on. We'll get to that. I'm smiling because I'm still seeing some of the loyal Jurich loyalists on Twitter saying Tom Jurich would be a home run hire for Miami if he could convince them to come out of retirement. I think that's the other way around. I was going to say if he can convince Miami that he's still, you know, he hadn't lost his touch, if you will, over the last few years he's been away. So that's something that I enjoy. But, man, got to give him credit. A lot of the folks are still there. They may be a lot of things, but loyal to a T is one of them. So we can dive into more sound from that on the other side of the break.
Looking forward to it all. It's the V Show on a Wednesday. Nick Curran, Nick Valvano, Phil Baker sitting in here on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Welcome back to the Sunday Morning Hangover on your sports leader, ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Nick Curran and Phil Baker.
Welcome back. 267-9680, the phone number, 437-9680, the UPS jobs text line. Eric Crawford joining us at 220 from WDRB Sports to talk about, well, a lot of stuff going on in the local landscape. He was at the KFC Yum Center last night as Louisville bounced back from the season-opening loss to Arizona Friday with a win over Bellarmine. Great night for the city with the two D1 programs getting together at the KFC Yum Center on the women's side. Cards back at it against UT Martin tonight. Yeah, I know. Novel idea, right? So we can discuss that a little bit with Eric. Carl Schmidt, president and CEO of the Louisville Sports Commission, going to join us here in just about 5 minutes to talk about the finalists for the 2021 Paul Hornung Award. A lot of good ones on the list.
It's pretty crazy when you look at the list of who they've given that award to, and it's actually become a pretty good award. When you look at, like, I'm trying to think, before Paul Hornung passed away, they had a pretty solid list of winners dating back, like Christian McCaffrey, Lynn Bowden, obviously, Rondell Moore.
Odell Beckham.
Saquon Barkley, you know, Tavion Austin. They've had some winners on there. Also, want to give a shout-out to our boy Scotty D. ESPN Louisville is your flagship this year for Bellarmine Knights basketball. Nick just alluded to the women's basketball team. The men's team are back in action tonight at St. Mary's. Pregame coverage begins. It's a late one, 9:45 with tip-off at 10 o'clock. That is going to be on one of those weird channels. I think it's WCC channel or stream or something. But
yeah, I'm going to try to stay. It's going to be tough to stay awake. I'm going to try. Good luck to the Knights. Big West Coast swing for Bellarmine. Got St. Mary's tonight. They play at Gonzaga, I believe, on Friday. Is that right? Need to double-check that. I think it's on Friday. And then to Vegas, all in the same trip. They've got UCLA and Central Michigan.
Decent amount of contingency of fans. There's a couple season ticket holders that call into Drew's show that are trying to finagle Drew to get out there. I do not think Drew will be going with them, but they're trying to get Drew to make the trip to Vegas. Also,
Furniture John was pitching it to the point.
I was like, is he going to pay for your fare and hotel? Well, like, Nick will go with you if that's the case.
I was going to say, well, I mean, I love Furniture John. He's one of my favorite guys, but I like how you did that little motion.
Caveat for butt. Yeah.
Well,
there was a butt coming off.
What?
Yeah, of course there was a butt. I'm a big fan of butt sentences. But no, he seemed like he was like getting commission on it. Dude, he was selling it. he would.
It's a great trip. It's a great trip. I think they left Monday. They get back, I believe, Wednesday after playing Central Michigan in Vegas. So they are. It's Gonzaga 9 o'clock Friday night, and then UCLA, number one, number two in the country, back to back games. That's Monday at 8 o'clock in Vegas, and then Central Michigan on Tuesday at 7 o'clock in Vegas.
T-Mobile Arena. They are staying at the Park MGM, I believe. That's what Scotty D said. That is a nice place. They got a great eatery in there. Nikki V, you would love it there. It is a. I'm not just doing that because I'm stereotyping you being Italian. You'd actually just really love it because it's fantastic.
And I think they're flying to Vegas on Saturday, I believe.
You just want to give their entire travel itinerary?
Well, no. I'm just trying to say, like, they get some time at. Maybe on the strip a little bit. That's good. It's a good trip.
Go to a Vegas Knights game. I don't know if that's going to coincide with that. Raiders game, potentially.
Heck of a trip coming from the U of L women's team beginning tomorrow, headed to Seattle, and then playing the University of Washington Saturday, and then going to Cal Poly to play them on Tuesday, and then driving to Ventura Beach to spend a beach day on Wednesday. Disneyland Thursday.
You're going to Disneyland?
I'm not going.
Well, so I knew you were flying back, so you're going to miss that.
But they're then flying to Denver Friday morning, going to the Nuggets Bucks game that night.
Shout out to Jeff Walls and that travel budget. Shout out.
And then playing Colorado State on Sunday before headed home.
Nice.
The following Sunday.
Also,
so it's a big time. It's a big-time trip.
I would say this, too. We talked about it, doing a quick rundown of everything. Bellarmine basketball tonight. We alluded to it. Also, you got our boy Jackie Grossman asking the question about DeKal, talking about the Kentucky series. Join Jack Grossman tonight around 11 o'clock. He's got you covered for an IU post-game show as the Hoosiers take on St. John's. I believe that's going to be on FS1 or the Big Ten Network. Jack Grossman, I need to check that. And it's all right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. So we got you covered. College hoops, college football, Lou City,
some
NFL.
Gavitt game. Post-game action with Crane. Love it.
He earned some brownie points with that. So, you know, our boy Jackie Grossman's got to take care of him and get him a post-game show. The mic is his friend. It's the son to Superman. It's not kryptonite.
He's not producing the Bellarmine game, is he? Because that's going to cause overlap.
I think he's here in, you know, all systems failure type thing, but I think we got a good grasp of it.
It's good. Well, I'm just making sure because, you know, I think those are going to overlap. Obviously. So there you go.
So
Carl Schmidt joining us here in just a little bit.
Yeah, and then Patty Ice and Mark Ennis, they got you covered for Louisville football at Duke. So you have the drive. I believe that's going to be out at Bungalow Joe's. That's your old neck of the woods, right? Now, don't you frequent out there occasionally?
Well,
used to when your parents.
My parents are still pretty big Bungalow Joe's frequenters there on right along Beulah Church.
So we have you covered for that. Mark Ennis and the drive will be out there. The pregame show, Patty Ice, Taylor Lynch got you covered for the Miller Lite pregame show. Then directly following that for the Cards and Blue Devils, it's Mark Ennis with the Miller Lite postgame show on 93.9 The Ville. We have NFL Thursday Night Football on 680. So it's the first place we'll talk about the Louisville football and possible bowl eligibility coming up on it tomorrow down in Durham. I believe Mark Blank and Baker is on the way. He will not miss an away game. God bless him on that. So he is dedicated. And you got Patriots at Falcons.
He's
8 o'clock.
Is he driving to Durham?
Yes, he drives essentially everywhere.
It's not a, I mean,
not a terrible drive.
It could be worse.
He's committed, man. But you got Patriots at Falcons, 8 o'clock, ESPN 680. So if you're driving around, we got you covered. College basketball, college football, NFL, Lou City. We are your home for everything sports here on your sports station, ESPN Louisville.
A lot going on. Tis the busy time, the crossover season, if you will, with football and basketball both rolling right now. Talked about Kentucky beating the Mount last night. Louisville football on the road at Duke. Kentucky football hosts New Mexico State this weekend. Louisville basketball looked a lot better in the win over Navy, the men's team, on Monday. Pretty impressive. Turnaround, I guess. Just so they moved the ball better. Ran better offense on Monday and saw the results there. Matt Cross involved a little more. Looked pretty good.
Drew has an absolute man crush on Matt Cross. There's a promo running. He is in love with him, and he thinks NIL should just be throwing dollars to him.
Well, I mean, Drew needs to get in line and take a number because Rummage is, yeah.
Judging by the reaction in the KFC Yum Center on Monday night, there's a lot of people that have a man crush or crush on Matt Cross.
We're not getting a technical.
Matt Cross, not Cross.
When he's not getting a technical and everything and scrappy, but the fans loved it. Even the referee apologized for it. So there you have that. He said he shouldn't call the technical. even though it was an offensive foul. But that's
no, I think it was. It certainly appeared to be an offensive foul. The building disagreed, but I agree with you. I thought it was an offensive foul myself. But neither here nor there. Cards won the game. And Virginia falling to Navy. Then got the doors beat off by Houston last night. Locke's Cavs struggling a little bit.
Locke's in a world of pain. Locke's been tweeting at us a lot.
This is a good time to do this. We forgot to mention Locke tweeted us on Sunday. It was the 10-year anniversary of the Sunday Morning Hangover, and Locke went out of his way to tweet at us, and we forgot to mention it.
I forgot to say congratulations. Partially because I'll be 100% honest, I had a long Saturday. Well, so I woke up comfortably.
No need to say congratulations. There was one person that would have known that it was the 10-year. That was me, and then I let Phil know, and so he knew, and we were the two.
But truly, congratulations. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, stabbed Nick Evans in the back and took a spot. I'm good. I'm about 4 years in from that.
But Locke said, Locke tweeted and said he listened before he joined the station, and then still listening now.
And now he's on the set of Spectrum, with regurgitating probably a segment that's played for the last 18 hours. That's our boy. I love him.
Man, I appreciated it. I thought that was awesome to see from Locke. So,
anytime I go to the dentist or the doctor or anything like that,
oil change,
restaurants.
It's an added bonus that I'm like, oh, I get to see Locke. Yeah, exactly. You get to see our boy Locke doing big things.
Always. Always very much enjoyable. Mentioned it. Without further ado, we bring him in, the president and CEO of the Louisville Sports Commission. It is Carl Schmidt joining us here. Carl, how are you?
Well, I'm good. So earlier I heard you talking about my old stomping grounds, and I had to jump out of my car and do something else. Did you figure out who the next athletic director is going to be at the University of Miami?
They have it narrowed down to about six-ish candidates, according to Brebbing Murphy and Barry Jack. I forget, Carl Schmidt, SID, former SID down there. So you probably have a better pulse than we do. I mean, before we dive into the Paul Hornung Award, what do you make of that?
Yeah, you know, it's they got some issues going on, and you probably think that it's, you know, if he goes, then, you know, the next guy is going to say the football coach is not my guy. So that's from what I've read, that's probably going to happen too. But yeah, it's a hard place to win in football, primarily because it's a private school. It's very expensive. You don't have that enormous amount of walk-ons that you get at state schools. If a person's going to come there as a walk-on, it's incredibly expensive. And, you know, getting that magic back, it's a hard thing to do. It's going to take, you know, there's really questions where the president of the university is committed to sports. I don't know whether he is or he isn't, but, you know, that's been said oftentimes. So they're just going to have to take a step back and really take a look at the whole athletic department and their commitment to it. But it's not an easy place to win in football because of the reasons I described. It's just not easy.
Yeah, Barry Jackson and Brett McMurphy reporting that Pat Chung of the Washington State AD, USF's AD Michael Kelly, Brian White of FAU, and former Louisville AD Tom Jurich, along with a couple of Miami alums, Gino Toretta and Alonzo Highsmith, are the names that are being mentioned, but there hasn't been any buzz around any progress since then.
So I know Gino and Alonzo, and they're great guys, and you just think that, I mean, Gino runs an enormous company. Alonzo's been involved in pro football. You know, you think that they're probably not the right choice just because you needed an administrator, somebody who knows the industry and the game. There's history there of guys coming from Washington State. I don't know that gentleman, but when I was there, Sam Jankovic was hired away from Washington State. And it's funny, you know, people, I was just reading a little bit of Greg Cody. Greg Cody was the beat writer for Miami, from the Miami Herald, when I was there. And he made me remember that when Sam hired Jimmy Johnson, it was Jimmy who? He was from Oklahoma State. Everybody thought he was some cowpoke from Oklahoma State, and he came and did a fabulous job. So, if they ask me, which they're probably not going to do, I think they ought to take a step back and just really look at their entire commitment to it and hiring somebody who has a lot of experience as an athletic director.
Well, real quick, and we'll switch it up to that. You know, the landscape, obviously, you've been removed from it for a while. How would Tom Jurich fit in down there?
Yeah, look, you know, his track record speaks for itself. I think I heard you guys say on both sides of the coin. And
you know, that's something that boards of trustees and boards of directors, I think, look at long and hard about, you know, how are you on both sides of the coin, and has there been enough time passed and all those things. So, yeah, that's a, you know, it's a name that has a lot, it's a very provocative name, wouldn't you agree?
Yeah. Spot on.
In Miami, in my experience, has been a very provocative place. So, yeah, you know, he's... I just think that board of trustees, they got to look internally a little bit first and figure out what their commitment is.
Well, going to be interesting to see how all that plays out, and it's fun to think about the possibilities maybe there a little bit. Just a lot of different roads you can go down kind of looking at that. Carl Schmidt, Louisville Sports Commission, joining us. Well, hard to believe it's that time of year again. The Paul Hornung Award, the finalists are out as of today, and again, just a great slate of really versatile players from across the country.
Yeah, and one of the things, so we have 17 voters, yep, spread around the country, and all of them working in the sports industry, and you know, people that really, I think, take it seriously when we look at the information they ask for and how they vote. We're very pleased that it's not all locked into Power 5 schools. We have two guys from, one guy from Houston, Marcus Jones, and a fellow from just up the road here at Ball State, Justin Hall, that are very deserving. Marcus Jones is just crazy, his numbers on punt returns and kick returns. And of the five, he's the only one that's really played all three sides of the football. He's a very good slot corner, and he's played on offense, mostly as a receiver, and as I mentioned, big-time punt and kick returner. And then this fellow, Justin Hall from Ball State, you know you're pretty good at the return game when they start punting the ball out of bounds and squibbing the kickoffs to the other direction. You know, and it was about mid-season they started doing that to him, so... So there's two guys in the whatever we call them these days, the other five, that we think you know, they're good players, and glad that the committee recognized them. Two Big Ten guys, one from Michigan State, Jaden Reed. You know, two plays that really jump out at him, and you know, Nebraska is just put everybody really close and just can't get over the hump. And you know, people think you can't get over the hump here in Louisville. Nebraska has lost, I don't know, 8 games by less than a score or one score or less.
It's been brutal.
Yeah, and Jaden Reed, Nebraska had Michigan State on the ropes, and he ran a pump back for a touchdown with about 3 minutes to go that tied the game, and they ultimately ended up winning it. And then he made that miraculous catch against Michigan when Michigan State was on the comeback. I think it was 4th and 10 or 4th and 12, and he made this one-handed catch. So there's a guy that's a punt, kick, returner, wide receiver, carries the ball. The other guy from the Big Ten, Blake Corum, just a real speedster, an amazing kickoff and punt return guy, wide running back, that got a little gimped up. He had a little injury in the Indiana game, and they tell him he's day-to-day to come back. And then the guy that probably carries the biggest name is Tyron Williams from Notre Dame, who's a running back who's... He's been carrying the ball 20, 25, even 30 times a game. Tremendous pass receiver. They line him up at slot receiver some, and he is a terrific punt returner, and they use him occasionally to return kickoffs. So that's the list. Five guys, two from give me the name, guys. It's not the other five. What do we call it now?
The group of five, yeah.
The group of five. Sorry, yeah. I don't want to embarrass anybody. The group of five, and then three from the Power Five. And as I mentioned, our voters usually do a pretty good job, and I heard you guys say we've got a pretty good track record of guys that have gone on to play in the NFL, and I think it's become an award that players really covet because it says something about a player. And this is what Hornung always said: I would do whatever the coach asked me to win football games. And we have found that, and I heard you rattling off some of the names: Odell Beckham, Saquon Barkley, Christian McCaffrey, Shaq Thompson, Jabril Peppers, Tavon Austin. They all came to our dinner, and just very humble. Believe it or not, I can use the word humble and Odell Beckham Jr. in the same sentence, because he was that when he was with us, and you know, anytime a guy will play that many positions, you got to have a lot of humility going for you.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about it. And just like you said, the track record speaks for itself. And you mentioned the 17-person committee, and then the fans get to provide the 18th vote, right?
Yeah, we do a fan vote powered by Texas Roadhouse, and it's fun. You know, people can vote once every 24 hours. And so, you know, you really find out who the fan, where the fan avidity is, and it usually is the schools, you know, that you would think of. A lot of Michigan voters out there, a lot in the Big Ten. And then you get to some places where, kind of surprising, Notre Dame didn't generate as many votes as I thought they would. But, yeah, that part of it's fun, and it gives us an opportunity to gauge the interest. And I will say that about our voters taking it very seriously. The first couple of years, we didn't provide a whole lot of data, and they just said, look, this is way different than voting for the best tight end or the best quarterback, because that's pretty straightforward, but can you help us out with? So we work really hard at a lot of data points and getting data in front of how many different positions did they play, how many snaps, what did they do, you know, the stuff, the yardage and the touchdowns. And there's so much data out there now that we've decided that we'll just, you know, keep it pretty traditional. But we got a great kudo from Phil Steele. You know who Phil Steele is? The
Naturally.
Football guy?
Of course.
Preseason,
yeah.
Mandatory reading.
Yeah, he's one of our voters. And so we send this packet out of information. And it's based on the people that have made the honor roll and some other players. And we do a weekly honor roll. We pick four or five or six players every week based on their performance. And Phil sent me an email back. He goes, oh, he said, your packet is awesome. Do you mind if I use this in one of our voting deals? And I was like, well, I'm flattered. And if you want to use it, sure. Now, you know, just remember we're focusing on a very narrow definition of a winner. And so the thing, the characteristics of Paul playing big in big games, scoring, touching the ball a number of different ways. But we were very flattered to have Phil Steele give us, you know, that's a pretty good recommendation there, don't you think?
Poolside reading for one Lachlan McClain each
he
and every
it.
Year. He is a big fan of it. So you got the seal of approval from him and Drew Diener. So that is, it's a fun
list. And Phil, I think the thing, he's very detail-oriented, and he always has been. That just the amount of detail that they do is incredible. I've always been very impressed by it.
Yeah, it's a pretty incredible publication. Everyone you pick it up before the season. Great reference tool. I know this is – are you – I'm assuming last year, and I don't know this, and I should are you able to do the dinner again? I know that's a big part of this, and I'm guessing that wasn't part of it last year, but hopefully that's back this year.
Well, we actually did the dinner last year, knowing full well that Devontae Smith wouldn't come because of his commitments. But his mom and dad came, and several other members of his family came, and we've always made a point to take care of the players' families. So several other of the moms came; they come back every year. But yeah, we'll do the ceremony with a dinner again this year. It's March 8th at the Gold House. And if you go on our website, either Louisville Sports Commission or PaulHorningAward.com, you can find ticket information. We've been very fortunate with previous winners coming back. We've had Jabril Peppers come back, Shaq Thompson's come back, Tavon Austin's come back. Let's see, one year we thought that Odell was coming back, and it was like, well, he's got this offer to go to London with Drake or to go to Louisville for this dinner. Where do you think he's going to go? Well, we didn't win that one. We lost out to Drake.
No friends in the industry, my friend.
So we'll have the dinner on March 8th, fully expecting to have the winner with us. The winner will be announced that week after the conference championships games. And I think December 8th is the date that we'll do the announcement. So, yeah, so these players have a couple more weeks to shine and show the voters what they can do and see if there's going to be any difference. And it's been a great award. And, you know, now that Paul's gone, Paul just passed away a year ago, just as a year, a few days ago. And, you know, we really are proud that we've been able to help his legacy and introduce a whole new generation of players to what kind of player Paul Hornung was. And I'll tell you, just we made the sports information directors, the SIDs around the country, they are really our primary audience, because those are the men and women that can really help our award. And they tell us on a regular basis, oh, man, our players just love your award. Just love your award. You know, I think some of it is the players that have won. Some of it is, you know, that badge of honor that you're doing everything you can possibly do to help your team win.
It's a great award, a great tradition that is ongoing, and a great way to continue to remember Paul Hornung. You can vote, paulhorningaward.com. Again, voting continues for fans through December 6th, making up the 18th vote if you want to get in on that. And then, as mentioned, Carl, the announcement coming up on December 8th with the dinner coming up on March 8th. All that information, paulhorningaward.com. Carl Schmidt, President and CEO, Louisville Sports Commission, thanks very much, as always. Appreciate it. And, well, looking forward to seeing how the season finishes up and how everything plays out with this year's Paul Hornung Award.
All right. And look, when you guys decide who you're going to name as the AD at Miami, give me a call. Would you? I'd like to know that, too.
We'll tip you off. Greg Cody first, then you second. That's how we operate.
Okay, here. Perfect. Perfect.
Thanks,
okay.
Carl.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Carl Schmidt, Louisville Sports Commission.
No, it really...
Full disclosure, we have nothing to do with who will be named as the Miami Athletic Director.
Tweet Nikki V and I. Maybe we have something to
maybe
do with
it. Maybe you do.
We got some prop bet going on over here.
Right.
No, but it is really cool. I'm a sucker for the college football playoff ranking show, knowing good and well how that's going to all turn out. The Heisman Trophy ceremony, I'm a sucker for that. And the college football award show, I watch it. It's like my Oscars. I don't know why I watch it, but I watch it. But it's really cool to see what the Paul Hornung Award has become, actually. Chicago, probably 7-ish years ago, I believe, in a layover coming back to Louisville, and got to chat with Paul Hornung for a bit, and he was very proud of what the award had become. So a really cool moment for that, and obviously the spotlight on the city of Louisville and what he has done for the community and building up the sport and whatnot. And a stellar, stellar list of Rondo Moore, Saquon Barkley, Devontae Smith, Lynn Bowden Jr., Christian McCaffrey, just to name a few.
And a great list of finalists for this year. Again, you can check it all out, paulhorningaward.com, if you'd like to vote as well. 17-person committee, the fan vote accounts for the 18th vote. Voting continues through December 6th with the announcement of the winner on December 8th.
Odds Carl Schmidt got my Drake reference there.
Didn't sound like it. I didn't get your Drake reference.
Well, so. I didn't either. What was it?
No friends in this industry. It's one of the tracks from the new song that I tried to squeeze it in there, but he just kind of laughed and moved along. But I was like, maybe Carl Schmidt listens to Drake.
I think he probably assumed it was a song. I had no idea.
There's
that's
a
what
shocker.
I'm assuming too.
There's a shocker.
I know that'll surprise you, but I had no idea. 267-9680, the phone number, 437-9680, the UPS jobs text line. We'll take a break. Third hour of the V Show coming up next. Eric Crawford joins us at 220, talking about, well, plenty going on in the local sports scene. Maybe we'll talk some Paul Hornung Award with him as well. Tom Jurich being rumored to be in the mix as an AD at Miami. Might mention that to Eric, I would assume. He was at the Louisville women's basketball game last night. We'll discuss that and more. Well, plenty more coming. Your calls and texts as well. Hour number 3 of the V Show coming up next here on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
CardNation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.